Brachos Daf Tes Zayin. We are in the middle of the second parak of the Masechta. Topic continues to be the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. The Mishnah that we saw yesterday went through a number of halachas that dealt with the mitzvah of Shema. The Mishnah yesterday on Tezvav Amin Aleph brought down four halachas. One halacha was the requirement of needing to hear the words that come out of your mouth. The second halacha was diktuk Osios, how careful you have to be when saying and enunciating all the words. The third halacha is Kore Lamafreya, someone who reads the psukim but reads them out of order. And finally, Ta'a, the person who makes a mistake and does not know where he is currently in the Shema. His head went somewhere else, and he forgot where exactly he was situated. We have spent already a number of time discussing the first two halachas of the Mishnah. Yesterday's daf primarily dealt with the first halacha of the Mishnah, that a person has to hear that which comes out of his mouth. There are three shitas we saw amongst the Tanaim. Either lechatchila, he doesn't have to hear, or bidiyaved, he should hear, but bidiyaved, he's yotzei, even if he doesn't hear. And the third shita, that of Rav Yossi, is that even bidiyaved, the person is not going to fulfill his obligation. We learned in yesterday's daf that the halacha falls like the middle position of Rav Yehuda. Lechatchila, you should hear the Shema coming out of your mouth, but b'di'evit, if you do not hear it, you are yotzei. Diktuk osios, the Gemara yesterday spoke about the idea that you have to be careful about pronouncing and articulating every one of the words of Shema. The Gemara says that the halacha, in fact, follows like Rav Yossi, that if you're not medaktik and you don't say every word carefully, you still will be yotzei. But yet the Gemara stresses that it is important to try to pronounce every word together. We're on the very bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis, starting at the last line, Ve'am Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. True to the Masechta, we are going to be quoting another statement of Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, even though it seemingly does not have anything to do with the previous statement that he said just a couple lines earlier. Am Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, Lama Nismacha, as we now turn to the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph. O Halim l'Nechalim. So the tent is in the Pasuk in Bad Midbar, as we're just about to see, is in the same Pasuk as Nachal, as a river. Dechsiv ka Nechalim nitayu ki ganos ale nahar ke ohalim nata. So the Pasuk in the Parshios, in Balak, giving the brachos to the Jewish people, so compares us to Nachalim, to flowing rivers, and to ohalim, to tents. And lama lecha ma nachalim ma'alim asadam into malas ha'ara. So just like a nachal, just like a river, can ascend and bring a person up from a state of tuma to that of tahara, af ohalim. And the same thing is true regarding a tent. Tent over here meaning a place in which you are going to learn Torah. Ma'alim asadam mikaf chov lekaf schos, can take a person from the side of liability and obligation to the side of innocence and acquittal. So just like a mikvah can be mitara person, Torah can be mitara person as well. Hakolim afrei lo yatsa, coming back to the Mishnah and heading back to the halacha, the Gemara now discusses what happens if you say the psukim out of order. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Asi, have a call, katrin le genana le Rav Elazar. So the Amorim, Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Asi were tying together the chuppah of Rav Elazar. So they were making, they were preparing wedding plans for Rav Elazar. Amar lehu, and Rav Elazar says to them as follows, Adahachi vahachi, thank you so much for helping me. And meanwhile, while you're helping me, Ezel, I myself will go, ve'eshma milsa debay medrasha, and I'll go to the base measures, ve'aisi ve'ema lehu. When I hear something from the base measures, I'll repeat it back to you. I'll bring the chiddushim that I heard back to you. Why didn't Rav Elazar go and help them prepare the chuppah together? Perhaps he was about simcha, but unclear exactly why it is that he himself didn't hear. But anyway, so he used his free time in order to learn Torah, and now he goes to the base measures, and this is what he hears. Azo ashkech le'tana, diktani kamed Rav Yochanan. Now he heard the Tana say the following in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Karavata ve'inu yodea lehechanta. A person is reading, and he's a toeh, and he's mistaken. He doesn't know where he made the mistake, meaning he's lost. So be'emtza aperk yachzi l'rosh. So if he's somewhere in the middle of the paragraph, now there are three paragraphs in total. So if he knows which paragraph he's in, he's just not sure exactly where in the paragraph he is, so then yachzi l'rosh aperk. So you can just simply go back to the beginning of the parak. Be'in parak leperak. So yachzi leperek rishon. If, let's say, the person is unsure about which parak he's in, meaning he's just simply so in a daze and so confused that he's not even clear whether he's saying the first parak, the second parak, or the third parak, so then yachzi leperek rishon, so then you go back to the first parak. Being ksiva leksiva. Now, let's say he's saying the pasuk of uchsav tam. But he's not sure if it's the chesav tam of the first paragraph or the second paragraph. Yachzir l'ksiv rishona. So out of the state of doubt, he should go back to the first paragraph. Amar Rav Yochanan lo shano ela shelo pasach b'laman yirbui mechem. However, if after saying the pasuk of chesav tam, he then says the words laman yirbui mechem, at that point in time, he could be assured that he's in the second paragraph. How do I know that? So he goes on to explain, Ava pasuk b'laman yibu, but if he started the pasuk of laman yibu yimechem, sarchei nakad. So what happens is that basically he's going now by habit. V'asi asa v'amar lehu. Sorry. He's on old habits. And the old habits are, is that, look, if he's saying the words laman yibu yimechem, so most probably now he's in the second paragraph, because that's normally how that's always how the second paragraph continues. And so therefore what he's just going to do is just going to assume now that he is in the second paragraph. However, if he didn't say the pasuk of Laman Yerbu, and he's really unsure if Uchsav Tamas belongs to first and second paragraph, so then he's got to go to the first paragraph. So Amar, Asi, Asi, Va'amar Lehu. So Rav Elazar just heard this halacha, and now he goes back to the Amoraim who are putting together his chuppah, and he repeats the halacha over to those Amoraim. Amr Lei, so they say to him, Ilu lo banu ela lishmo davarze dayenu. So they thought it was such a wonderful halacha. If all we did is just come here, this particular halacha dayenu, that would have been sufficient for us, and that would have made us happy. Tosus comments over here. Second Tosus on the Amud. Akar Yishma v'yenu yodeh lehechan ta'a chozal rosh perush mita'am she'enu yodeh mehechan ta'am. The person is somewhere in the paragraph, but he's really lost. He doesn't know where in the paragraph he is. Aval. Im ha yodeh mehechan ta'a she'dileg teva o pasuk. But let's say he's in the middle of the paragraph and he knows exactly what happened. He skipped a word. He skipped a pasuk. So ain't it tzarech lachzor. You don't have to go back to the beginning. It's Tosus elam yos a pasuk ve'elech. V'chein behalal v'hein u'megillah. And the same thing's true with halal megillah. So if a mistake was made in Shema, in Halal, in Megillah, and you happen to know exactly where the mistake is, that doesn't necessitate you to have to go back to the beginning, but rather, you just simply continue from where you know you made the mistake. Adkan, that's the end of the sugya that started yesterday. We are in Tezayin Amud Aleph, a little less than halfway down the Amud HaOmnim. And now we're talking about the workers, Korin Shema. Korin V'Rosh HaIlan U'V'Rosh HaNidbach. So they could reach Shema, and even though they're on the top of the tree, and even though they're on the top of the stones, meaning they're in the middle of the work right now, but the Zman Shema, the Zman Kriya Shema has come, and so therefore they have a requirement to say Shema, so they'll say it right there and then. Ma she'in rasha lasos kein betila. Now this is not true by tefillah. By tefillah they can't just simply stand on the top of the tree, on the top of the stones, and daven and say Shema Esrei at the top. Now, the obvious question is, what's the difference between Shema and tefillah? The first Rashi in the Mishnah, Ha'umnim, Rashi writes, Shehem asukim b'mlachta b'rosh ha'ilan o b'rosh ha'nidbach v'igi zman kriya shma koren l'sham miyad. Okay, so he is right now currently in work, and he's on the top of the tree, or he's on the top of the stones, and so therefore it allows him to just simply say the Shema right there and then. Skip the Rashi, go to the next Rashi, Masha'in Roshan Lasos came by Tefillah, but you can't do that by Tefillah. Rashi goes on and explains the difference between Shema and Tefillah. Rashi writes, Ditzlusa Rachamehi. Because when it comes to davening Shemona Esrei, so that's Rachmanos, we're asking God for passion, for compassion. Ubay Kavana, and that requires intention. Hilkach in Mispalim Berosha Ilam Verosha Nidbach. You can't daven on the top of the tree, on the top of the stone, Dimistafe, because there you're going to be afraid. Dilma Nafle. You may fall down. De'in yecholun la'amod sham, because you can't stand there. Ela al yidei adchak, unless you're really balanced. Omach mas biyususo lomatsi mechavnim, because you're so scared and nervous on the top, so you're not going to have the requisite concentration that's necessary. And so therefore, it will go against the Shemona Esrei that you are saying. Masha'en came bashma, so seemingly you don't need that much kavana. Now this Rashi, of course, is a little bit challenging, because we learned earlier that by Shema you do need kavana. The question only was, which parts of Shema do you require kavana? And so it's interesting that Rashi differentiates. Obviously, you need to differentiate because the Mishnah differentiated. But Rashi differentiates Shema and Shemona Esrei based on the variable, based on the factor of kavana. But we, of course, know that you also need some kavana for some parts of Shema. So the difference is, on one hand, it's understood. On the other hand, it doesn't fit into what we've learned earlier in the Masechta. Continue in the Mishnah, Chasan Pater Mekriya Shema Laila Rishon Van Motzei Shabbos, Im Lo Asa Maisa. A Chasan, a groom, is going to be exempt from Shema the first night up until Motzei Shabbos. Remember, back in the day, they got married on Wednesday night. And so for the first four nights, So he's going to be tarred b'mitzvah. He's going to be so preoccupied in the mitzvah. So therefore, if as long as he did not have relations with his new wife, so he is going to be exempt from Shema with the trader, with the concern and the preoccupation of the mitzvah. There was an episode once with Rabbi Gamliel who married a woman, Vikara Laila Harishona, and he actually read the Shema on the first night of the Chasna. Amru lo tamid of Lemanatena Rabbeinu, Shechasam Patur Mikriya Shema. A student said to him, how could that be? You're the one who told us that one is exempt, a chasan is exempt from Kriya Shema. You're exempt from Kriya Shema. Why did you say Kriya Shema? So Amru lahem, Eini shomei lachem levatal heimeni, I am not prepared to listen to you, not for one moment, that you're going to take away my ability to accept upon myself Malchus Shemayim. And as a result of that, he felt that he was able to do so. Now, obviously, the story is problematic because the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. And Rabbi Gamliel says, okay, but he felt that he was special, and he said felt that he was allowed to. So, but doesn't that go against the Mishnah? So here I go back to Tosfos, third Tosfos on the Amud, Lav Maisa Listerhu. So Tosfos says that this story is not contradicting what we learned previously in the Mishnah, even though at face value it is contradicting it, the Kamash Malan, because what the Mishnah is looking to teach us is Imgadohu, Ubatech Batzmo Shiachol, Lihiskavein, Vahu Riley Tol Es Hashem Rosh Hashbiyado. That what the Mishnah is telling us is that if you feel that you're in the kind of position where you could say the Shema and you can have the proper Kavana, so then you have the right to do so. The Mishnah here is not telling us that there's an Isser for a Chasson to say Shema. The Mishnah is just simply saying is that because the person is assumed not to have Kavana, so therefore he has a Patur, he has an exemption. But that is just an exemption. But on the other hand, what it does mean is that if he feels like he can have Kavana, so then he's allowed to go ahead and say Shema, as is exhibited by the story regarding Rabbi Gamliel. We start with the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara begins, Ha'umnim Korim Barosha Ilan Barosha Nidbach. So the workers can say the Shema on the top of the tree, on the top of the stones. Umis Palalin Barosha Zaisa Barosha Te'ina. And they can daven both on the top of the olive tree and the top of the fig tree. Ushar Kol Ilan is Yodilamata Mis Palalin. However, on any other tree, so they must come down, they must daven and get off the tree before davening. Ubalavais Ben Kach Ben Kach. However, when it comes to a Baal Bayis, in either circumstance, he must descend from the tree and wait until Datum Yishevus, until he is able to concentrate. The Mishnah, the Brisa over here definitely demands some explanation. The Brisa says that when it comes to an olive tree or a fig tree, the worker can stay on the tree even for davening. Now, we learn back in the Mishnah that for davening you need kavana, and therefore you must come down. Even the Brisa says that for all other trees you need kavana, and therefore must come down. So why is it by the olive tree and by the fig tree you can stay on top? So once again, we turn back to Rashi, and Rashi explains the following. Rashi writes, Bizman shasukin behem ipnei shahanafim merubim v'yachol la'amocham. So the leaves of these trees are very thick and very dense, and it's possible to stand there shalom bedochik. And you don't have to balance yourself, and it's you can have a pretty stable position on the tree. And you're not really afraid that you're going to fall down. As a result, so therefore you're allowed to daven on the top of these trees, but on all of the trees you are not allowed to daven. So says Rashi, is the difference between the olive and fig tree versus all the other trees. Continuing in the Gemara, Ramile Rav Mari Bira Debas Shmuel Larava. Second wide line on the Amud. So Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, asks the following question to Rava. It is a strange way to describe somebody. Rashi over here goes to the Gemara in Ksuvos that explains that his father was a ger. Rashi goes through more detail of the story. You can see the Gemara in Ksuvos for more details of the story. But in the meantime, we continue. Tanan, we learned in the following Mishnah, Hum Nim Korim Barosha Ilan Barosha Nidbach. Workers can say the Shema while on the top of the tree, while on top of the stones. Amalo by Kavana. Well, that would seem to indicate that it does not require Kavana very minimum. And the Gemara now poses a problem, which is, Hakare Shema Tzorach Sheyacham Neslipo. Don't you need Kavana when you say Shema Shenema Shema Yisrael? Ulahalan Omer, Haskes U Shema Yisrael. Malahalan Bahaskes, Afkan Bahaskes. So when it comes to the saying of Shema, there has to be an undivided attention and concentration to the Shema. And meanwhile, our Mishnah says he could just stay on the top of the tree. Ishtik. So he was quiet. Amalei midi shmi alach. So he says, did you hear anything about this, Baha? Amalei hachi amar Rav Sheshes v'hu shabatlam imlachtam v'korin. So Rav Sheshes says, pshat will be like this. The worker does not have to come down from the tree. The worker can stay on the tree. However, the worker can't work on the tree while saying the Shema. so that while he's saying the Shema, so the allowance that's given the workers that he could stay on the tree. But vis-a-vis when he's actually saying the Shema, so there he has to abstain from any kind of work so that he can have the requisite kavana while saying the Shema. V'atayin, the Gemara now challenges based on another brace, so Beis Hillel Omrim. Uskim Mamlachim V'Korin. So Beis Hillel is of the opinion that you can be engaged in work and you can also read while engaged in work. Lokasha HaBeperek Rishon HaBeperek Sheni. The Gemara makes a distinction between the first paragraph of Shema and the second paragraph of Shema. For the first paragraph of Shema, there must be an abstention of work, so that therefore you can totally concentrate on the Shema. And for the second paragraph, at that point in time, you can continue working because there is not that much a need to have Kavana from the second paragraph and onward. Now, this may be the source of Rashi that we saw in the very beginning of the Masechta, and of Beis Amud Aleph. Rashi writes that the mitzvah of Shema, bi'ikaron, is the first paragraph of Shema. Now, remember, Rashi dealt with the issue that the Rishonim dealt with, which is that we say Ma'ariv too early, and we're not saying Shema post Seitz HaKochavim, as the Mishnah instructs us that we must do. And how can we say the Shema early and not fulfill the mitzvah of Shema at night? So Rashi, in the very beginning of the Masechta, says, well, you have the Kriya Shema Shomita. The Kriya Shema Shomita is you're going to say the first paragraph, and since you do so, so that really is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So Rashi over there said that the first paragraph is a din d'oraisa, and our Gemara over here on Daf Tazayin Amud Aleph seems to support this idea of Rashi. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara now continues with another braisa. Po'alim shayu osim malacha eitzo bala bais. Workers doing work by the owner. So Korin Kriya Shema. So they read the Kriya Shema, making the brachas before and afterwards, va'ochlin pitan, and eat bread, umevarchin lefanel achareha, and make a bracha before and afterwards, umispalin tefillah shel Shmona Esrei, and they daven the entirety of the Shmona Esrei, aval ein yordin lifnei ateva. But what they're not going to do is daven for the amud. And they're not going to do nisiyas kapayim. And the reasons why they're not going to do these activities, says Rashi, is because they're in the middle of work right now. So there are allowances that are given to them to say Shema, to make the brachas before and after, to daven Shmona Esrei, to eat and to bench and make the requisite brachas before and afterwards. For that, there's an allowance. But Yorid Lifnei Ateva, meaning Chazar Shashatz and Nosin Kapehem, so and Duchening, so that will be too time-consuming, and that will be at the expense of the owner. And so for that, the Chachamim did not require. That time, the Gemara quotes another Braisa, Me'ein Yud Ches, and the other Braisa says that you're not going to be saying the full Shmona Esrei, but you're going to say an abbreviated version of Shmona Esrei. This is already, we referred to it once earlier in the Masechta, the idea that according to some Tanayim, one is allowed to say an abbreviated form of the Shmona Esrei, where the middle brachas are all going to be compacted and contracted into one bracha, and that one bracha will articulate all 12, and after the extra bracha was added, all 13 themes of the middle brachas of the Shmona Esrei. This is also referred to as Havinenu. So Amar of Sheshes Lokasha. So we have a discrepancy between two braisas. The first braisa says that you say a full Shmona Esrei. The second braisa says that you say Havinenu. The Gemara says it's not a kasha. Harem Gamlil, Harem Yoshua. So the Gemara says that they're just simply reflecting the machlokas. We have a machlokas between Rabbi Gamlil and Rabbi Yoshua. We're going to see the machlokas later in the Masechta. Rabbi Gamlil says that every single day a person daven Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yoshua says that every single day a person can say a abbreviated form of the Shmona Esrei, and the Gemara says that's the resolution between these two braises. I.e., Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara says, come on. If we're really saying that the braises are going like Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua is not limiting the ability to abbreviate the Shmona Esrei just for the worker. He allows everybody to do so. So both braises are going like Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says that the difference is going to be what the workers are working for. Are they working for Schar or are they working for Su'uda? Rashi explains Osin B'Schar, and Rashi is the first long line on the bottom of the Amud. Osin B'Schar and Rashi writes, Shenot Lin Schar Pulasam Levad Su'udasam. So they are not only working to eat, but they're also working to get a wage. So therefore, they have this requirement now to minimize the davening, shrink the davening, so that they could work more. On the other hand, if they're only working for a meal, so then they are able to say the full Shmona Esrei, considering the fact that the wages are not that particularly high. Vahatanya, the Gemara quotes, a braisa now that's going to support this. Normally the word Vahatanya is a challenge, but on occasion Vahatanya is bringing a braisa to support, and you can count on Rashi to tell us when the Vahatanya is there to support us. Rashi over here says binichusa. This is supporting exactly what we just said. Hapoalim shayuosim malachim etzav alabais, the workers that are working by the owner. Karin kriyashma. The kriyashma mispalim va'ochlim pito, and they're going to daven shmona esrei, and they're going to eat their bread ve'in mevarchin lefaneha. Now in this braisa, the version is that you do not make a bracha before and avam avarchan lachare, but you make a bracha afterwards. You don't make a bracha before, and says Rashi, why? Because the bracha rishon is eino min haTorah. You make the bracha achrona because that is a bracha min haTorah. Benching is a mitzvah min haTorah. Avam avarchan lachareha, shtayim. Now, how many brachas are you going to make afterwards? Now, benching is composed of four brachas. We're going to learn this later in the seventh parak of the Masechta. But if we could just right now ignore the fourth bracha, as that is an additional bracha that was added on by the Chachamim later. So benching at its core is really three brachas. The Gemara says that the worker, because of the consideration that he must work for his employer, and he right now is currently on his employer's time, so therefore what he must do is he's got to further truncate the benching. So bracha rishona kitikuna, the first bracha of azan is going to be said in its complete form, shnia posech bebrachos haaretz. However, for the second bracha, he'll open up with brachos haaretz, that's the theme of noda, v'kolam bona yushlayim bebrachos haaretz. And what he's going to do is he's going to fold in the third bracha of binyan yushlayim into the second bracha, and so therefore, he will be saying effectively only two brachas. The first bracha of benching and brachas 2 and 3 will be folded into the second bracha of benching. Ba'medvar memorim men, when is this true? Ba'osim b'scharim, that's when they're getting wages. And so therefore their time is very valuable. And therefore they're going to have to seriously limit that which they say. Ava'osim b'dusu dasim, but if they're only working for a meal, oh, shaya balabais mesav imahen, or if the owner happens to be sitting and eating with them, so mevarchin kitukuna, so then they are allowed to bench and daven like you normally would do. And so this braisa is going to be a perfect support for that which we said earlier, the difference between a worker is working for wages, where his time is extraordinarily valuable, as opposed to a worker is only working so that he will get a meal. Chasan potter mekriyashma, and the chasan is going to be exempt from kriyashma. The upcoming Gemara that we're about to do is going to be a repeat, verbatim, of the Gemara that we did just a couple of days ago on Daf Yud Aleph. So this will be excellent chazara, and I'll go through it a little bit quicker. Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes the following braisa, b'shivtecha b'viseicha, pra'la usik b'mitzvah. The mitzvah of Shema is when you are in your house. But however, if you are currently engaged in the mitzvah, you're exempt. And the lechta chavaderech is excluding a chassan. Mikan amru akonis is a pesula. Somebody marrying a pesula pater, he will be exempt from the Shema. V'es ha'amana, but somebody marrying an amana, a widow is going to be chayav. My mashma, how is all this generated from the pesukim? Amru papa ki derech, because it's like a journey, like a road. Ma derech rishus af hachanami rishus. So just like when a person goes on the road, he's going for volitional reasons, so too, the mitzvah of Shema is only when he's doing his own thing. But if he's doing something which is already a mitzvah, so then he's not obligated to say the Shema. Mi lo askin in dekaz lo dvar mitzvah v'afilo hachem rechmana likrei. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Can't we just make the argument that he's doing a mitzvah and still the Torah's instructions to such an individual is that you must read the Shema. Im kein lemakra beleches. That's true if the Torah would have said the word beleches, my belechtecha. However, when the Torah says, and you're going to go on your journey, Shema mina beleches idach. That's only when you're going on your journey, which is totally volitional. Had the mitzvah, but if it's that of a mitzvah petura, then it's going to be, that person's going to be exempt. As we are now on the top of Tazayin Amud Beis, so the Gemara says, so why are we now limiting the halacha to somebody who's marrying a besula? Why not include that to someone who's also marrying an amana as well? So the Gemara says that the one marrying the besula is going to be very preoccupied, because there is a lot at stake, as we already explained back on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Gemara there said, well, the Gemara didn't really articulate, but we explain that with the marriage of a besula, so there is the dam besulim. If there is no dam besulim, so they're going to go to the court the next day, there is a lot weighing on that chassan's mind. However, for the amana, who no longer has besulim, so he won't be that preoccupied. So hachatard hachalotar di mishum tirda. So the Gemara says, if really tirda is the consideration, afilu tavas finasa bayam. So let's say the person's boat drowned in the water, the person's boat sunk, the person lost a lot of money. So that person now is going to be filled with stress and anxiety. So is he going to get an exemption from Shema? So the Gemara says, Alama Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav Avel Chai V'Chol Mitzvos Amos B'Torah Chus Me'at Tefillin Shari Nemar Bahem Perish Shenemar Percha Chavushalacha. And meanwhile, we know that even though a person is in tremendous emotional distress, that person is not going to be exempt from doing mitzvahs of the Torah. We know that because of the Avel. The Avel is obligating all the mitzvahs of the Torah, with the notable exception of tefillin, which we also already discussed back on Daf Yud Aleph. But outside of that, the Avel is going to be obligating all the mitzvahs of the Torah, despite the fact that it's very easy to say that he's tarud, that he's filled with anxiety right now. So Amri Hasam Tirda Rishot Sacha Tirda the mitzvah. So the Gemara makes a distinction with different types of Tirda. So if your boat sinks and it's just a financial loss, so that's Tirda Rishot. So yes, it's stress and anxiety, but stress and anxiety over money. However, if you're having stress and anxiety over performing a mitzvah, so that's the kind of stress and anxiety that's going to exempt you from having to do another mitzvah. We are in the Mishnah on Tazayim and Beis, Rachatz Laila Rishon Shemesa Ishto. We are discussing Rabbi Gamliel again. So in the previous Mishnah, we discussed Rabbi Gamliel and how he did not refrain from saying the Shema, even though it was the first night of his wedding. And his explanation was is that he's different and he can have the proper Kavanah. The Mishnah over here is going to go over a number of practices of Rabbi Gamliel that seemingly goes against the norm and the accepted halacha. Rachatz Laila Rishon Shemesa Ishto. He bathed himself the first night after his wife died, and he's an aval at that point in time. We're going to be assuming that his wife was buried, but nevertheless he's an aval, and so an aval is not allowed to bathe. It's one of the isurim of an aval, and yet he bathed. So Amar lo Tamidav Lematen Rabbeinu Shaval Asul Erchotz. So the student said to him, you're the one who taught us that a novel is not allowed to bathe. So Amar Lahem Eini Kishar B'nei Adam. So Rabbi Gamliel, in explaining his action, says, look, I'm not like a regular person. Istinis Ani. I'm somebody who is extraordinarily delicate. And so for me to go a day without bathing, so that would be extraordinarily onerous and very difficult. And so therefore, as an istinis, I have an allowance to do so. And the Gemara then also reports that when Tevi, his servant, died, Kiba alav tanchumim. So he accepted upon himself comforters. So once again, the student said, you can't do that. You can't accept comfort for the death of an Evi Kanani. So again, Rabbi Gamliel's answer is the same type of answer that he gave in the previous case and in two cases as well. And that is that this is an outlier. My servant Tevi isn't like any other Eved, Kasher. The man is morally upstanding, he's morally upright, and so therefore I'm ready to accept Tanchumim on his loss. Chasan immortally cross Kriyat Shema Laila Rishon Kare. A Chasan, if he wants to reach Shema the first night, he may do so. Rav Mishim Gamliel Omer Lo Kol Arotzeli Tos Hashem Yito. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says this is not just simply any boy's choice to do so, and not everyone has the ability and the power to have the requisite kavanah necessary, even though he's happened to be getting that married that night. And so therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel frowns on the option of having to say Shema when if that person feels that he actually can say it. The Gemara begins, my time at the Rabbanan, what is the reason behind Rabbi Gamliel? Kasavra Aninus Laila the Rabbanan Dichsiv Achariso Kiyomar. The fact that Rabbi Gamliel went and bathed himself the night after his wife died, even though he's an Avel. So the Gemara explains it based on the following. Aninus of the first night is a din de Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, Va'achariso Kiyomar. And only the day after is going to be a bitter day. Uvamakom Istinus Logazra Be Rabbanan. And because he was an istinus, so therefore the Chachamim did not make a gzera. So let's give a little bit more explanation and clarification to this Gemara so that we get to see it a little bit more clear. The Gemara over here is describing aninus. Aninus, in the context of the Gemara's description here, is describing a situation where the person loses one of his seven relatives. For the balance of that day, that person is an onain. Now, we normally assume and assign the definition of onain to somebody between the miso and the burial. That's normally how we describe an onain. And we say that an onain is part of the mitzvahs, and all that is true and good. The Gemara over here is not referring to Onen in that regard. The Gemara here is describing Onen from the simple standpoint of the Torah describes a person on the day in which he loses a loved one as an Onen. That person for that day is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, and it goes without saying that he's not allowed to eat Truma, and he's not allowed to eat Kachim. But he's not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. We know this. The Pasuk says in Vidui Maaser, when the person comes clean and gives a full reporting of what he did good and what he did right, and one of the things that he did is Lo Achalti Be'oni. I didn't eat it when I was an Onin, and that's a reference to the Maaser Sheni. An Onin is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. Mina Torah, how long is an Onin allowed to eat Maaser Sheni? So clearly everyone is in agreement that the Onin is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni on the day of the Misa. What about the night following? So that is a Machlokas. Rami Gamliel, the Gemara says, is of the opinion that Aninas Laila, even though Midra Banan, an Onin cannot eat that night, but Mina Torah, an Onin is allowed to eat that night. And he cited a pasuk in Amos that gives support to this. Obviously, it's a pasuk in Navi. It's not the Makor. It's just simply a support for this idea. So that means to say now that the night following the death of his wife, so he was not an Onei Medaraisa. He was only an Onei Medarabanan. Important point, by the way, this discussion of Aninus as it relates to eating a Miser is totally irrespective of when the Kfura actually takes place. Even if the Kfura were to occur that day, so for the rest of the day, the person is not allowed to eat. Is not allowed to eat meiser. Is he not allowed to eat also that night as well? So again, min haTorah is a machlokas. Everyone agrees that at least min haRabbanan is not allowed to do so, but is he not allowed to do so min haTorah? So we just learned that as a machlokas. With all that stated as a backdrop, so now let's understand in the context of our Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about Rabbi Gamliel's ability to bathe that evening. And Rabbi Gamliel said that because he's an instance, he's allowed to bathe. The Gemara gives explanation in that Rabbi Gamliel subscribes to the viewpoint that Aninus that night is only a Din D'Rabbanan. Now, Tosfos over here points out that the Gemara here is really hard to understand. One seemingly has nothing to do with the other. The Isser to bathe for an Avel is because he's an Avelus. It is not a function of Aninus, but rather it's a function of Avelus. His inability to eat Maaser Sheni and Truma and Kashim for that matter, is because he's an Onen. But Aninus has nothing to do with bathing and washing. Aninus just simply has to do with the consumption of Maaser Sheni. So how can the Gemara make it sound like that the ability to for him to bathe is going to be predicated on what he holds regarding the Onen status the night after the death? Seemingly the two issues are totally irrelevant. You could see Tosfos Dibra Maskal Aninus Laila D'Rabbanan where he poses this question, and he offers a solution. You can see the end of the Tosfos for a possible solution to this problem. We continue in the Gemara. Uchishemeis Tevi Avdo, and when Tevi the servant of Rabbi Gamliel died, when it comes to the death of one's Eved or Shivcha, we're talking about Eved Kanani, Shivcha Kananis. So there is no Shura after the burial. So two lines are formed where they're going to be offering Tanchumim. So that is not done for the loss of an Eved or Shivcha. Also, benching has an additional bracha for the Avel. We will learn this later in the Masechta. And Tanchume Avelim, and also the Nichum Avelim also. This is not going to be extended for somebody who lost an Eved Kanani or Shivcha Kananis. Maiso Maiso Shivcha So Shor Rabbi Eliezer. The slave of Eliezer died. Nichnas Tamid of the Nachamo. The students came in to give Nechama. Kem Shara'u Sam Alam Le'aliyah. So now he didn't want to accept the Tanchumim because we just learned together that you're not allowed to accept Tanchumim for the loss of an Eved Kanani. So he ran up into the attic trying to get away from them. Va'alu acharav nichnas la'an pilon. And he went into another room, nichnasu acharav, they went after him. Nichnasu la'traklin. They went into the dining room, nichnasu acharav, and they came after him. Amar lahem b'kemedu ma'ani she'en atam nichvim b'poshrim. So Rabbi Eliezer says to them, look, it's seemingly you're not going to get burned by warm water. What he means to say is you guys seem not to be able to take a hint. I am running away from you. I don't want to accept Tanchumim. You keep following me. Please stop following me. I didn't want to say it, but now I have to say it because you can't take a hint. And even if I were to pour scalding water on you, he says this by way of analogy, you still wouldn't have gotten the hint. I taught you this halacha. So So you don't extend any type of Hilchos Avelus and Hilchos Tanchume Avelim over to somebody who lost his Eved Kenani or Shifcha Kenanis. Elama Omrim Aleihem. And what do you in fact say? Kishem Shomrim Loladam Al Sharav Achamaro Shemesa. When somebody loses a financial asset, like a shore, like a chamor, so what you say to them is Hamakom Yomal Chesronech. So you simply say to them, look, Kadosh Baruch Hu should help you recover from your loss. And the same thing could be said over here. That what you should say to him is that Hashem should help you with a recovery for your financial loss. Tanyidach, the Gemara quotes another brayso, Avadim v'shvechos, must be a maso. You don't give them a eulogy. Rabbi Yossi, Omer im eved kasher hu, omrim alav. Havi ishto v'nema v'nena migyo. So Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that if our eved kanani happens to be a good guy, so then you do eulogize him, and the eulogy will sound something like this. He was a good man, ish tov, v'neman, he was trustworthy, v'nena migyo, and he was self-sufficient. He lived on his own efforts. Amru lo, and which they said to him, imkein ma'anach l'ksherim. Look, the idea that you're giving a eulogy in of itself is curious, but this kind of eulogy where basically you're talking about how good a guy he is and how trustworthy he is, that's the kind of eulogy that's reserved for a Ben Bris, not one for that of an Eved Kenani. So even if I'm going to accept your argument that you're allowed to be Maspid and Eved Kenani if he's a Kasher, but such a Maspid where a Jew could receive such a Maspid and it would be praiseworthy, so that such a Maspid should not be, such a Hespid should not be given over to the Eved Kenani. Tanu Rabbanan, we are on Tezayin Amud Beis, more than halfway down in the Amud. The Gemara now is going to be quoting more brises regarding this topic of an Eved Kenani. Ein Korin Avos Ella Lishlosha. There are three forefathers. Ein Korin Imaos Ella Arba, and there are only four matriarchs. Avos Maitama. Now why? Why is it in fact that the number is kept at three for the Avos and four for the Imaos? So Elam Mishum Delo Yadinan Imi Ruben Kai Asinan Imi Shimon Kai Asinan. So is it because we don't know which tribe we come from? So therefore, we can't refer to Shimon or Levi or Reuven as an Av because we simply don't know if we came from them. So Ehachi Emaos Nami Lo Yadinan Imi Rachel Ka Asinan Imi Levi Imi Le Ka Asinan. Well, then of course you can make the same exact point regarding the matriarchs. We don't know which matriarch we came from, and yet we call them matriarchs. Ela adhacha chashiva tfei. Ela adhacha chashiva tfei lo chashiva. So the Gemara says that up until this point in time, there was a certain chashivus to the avos, and from that point going forward, they didn't have that kind of chashivus. Tanyidach, the Gemara quotes another braisa, avadim shvachas ein korin oson abba ploni, v'ima plonis. When it comes to an Eved Shivcha, so you do not refer to them as Abba Ploni. Abba Ploni literally translates as father so-and-so, but as Rashi points out over here, the Gemara just simply means that you're giving them a term of reverence. It's like saying Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, and one does not refer to a regular person by simply his first name. By the Eved Kenani, however, you can in fact refer to the Eved Kenani by his first name and only by his first name. V'shamarim Gamliel, Ayikorno, so Abba Ploni, V'yima Plonis. Now the slave of Rabbi Gamliel, who we spent a lot of time learning about today, his master did in fact refer to him as Abba Ploni and Ima Plonis because they were Kshirim. Maisa Listor Mishum de Chashiva, the Gemara says, now the story that's told at the end of the Braisa, it's difficult. The Braisa just simply says you're not allowed to. And meanwhile, Rabbi Gamliel actually referred to his Eved as Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. So the Gemara's response is, yeah, but they were Chashiv. And therefore, he felt that it was the right thing to do. Amar Rabbi Al-Azra Maidichsiv, Kain Averechacha Bechayai, Bishimcha Sakapai. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Tehillim, and now, based on this Pasuk with the following psukim in Perik Samach Gimel, the Gemara now is going to make a number of Midrashic points. Number one, Kein Avrecha Bechayai, I praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I bless the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zu Kriyashma, that's reference to Kriyashma, Bishimcha Sakapai, and in your name I'm going to raise my hand. Zu Tfila, that's a reference to Tfila. Vimosa Kein, Alava Katsav Omer, Kimmo Chalav Videshen Tazbe Nafshi. And a person who says the Shema and says the Shemona Esrei, so he will now fulfill the rest of the Pasuk, which is just like the fats and the plenty of the land of Eretz Yisrael, tasbeh nafshi, a person will be satiated. V'lo od el shenochel shnei olamim, that such an individual will be inheriting two worlds. Ha'olam hazeh ha'olam haba, this world and the next world. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'sfasai renos yahalu pi, yahalel pi, and the lips, those that praise yahalel pi, will be singing to Akash Baruch Hu, praising to Akash Baruch Hu, the idea that he'll praise in this world and the world to come. Before continuing the Gemara, let's just take a stock and recap what we have been covering so far up until this point. Number one, we spoke in terms of halacha on the top of Tazayin Amid Aleph, Korei L'Mafreya. We talked about a person making a mistake in Shema, not exactly sure where he is. His head wandered, and so he's not sure where he is. So if he knows where he is to the paragraph, he just doesn't know which pasuk he's in the paragraph. So he should go back to the beginning of the paragraph. If, however, he does not even know which paragraph he is, so he should go back to the beginning of Shema. And the Gemara gave a couple more details regarding this particular halacha. The Mishnah then continued describing the workers who were allowed to say the Shema while in the tree or while working and standing on top of the stones. The chassan is going to be exempt from the Kriya Shema. The Gemara spent some time talking about the worker, whether the worker in fact is obligated in Shema or going to be exempt from Shema. And there was discrepancies between the brises, and we made a distinction between two types of workers. One was a worker who gets paid wages. Second was a worker who only gets paid food. And since for the latter, his time is not as valuable, so therefore there are not many shortcuts that are given to him for his davening because his time is not as valuable. We reviewed the Gemara on the bottom of Tazayin Amid Aleph, the Gemara that we did back on Yud Aleph, regarding Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. The Gemara quoted the entire sugya verbatim. The Mishnah has taught us other actions that were done by Rabbi Gamliel that seemed a little bit off. He bathed the night after his wife was buried. The Gemara discussed that in a little detail. Rabbi Gamliel accepted Divrei Tanchumim, words of comfort over the loss of his Evikanani. That is unusual, as the Gemara quoted a number of brises that says that normally you're not allowed to do that. And now we pick it up where we left off. We are towards the bottom of the Amud at the two dots, starting with the words Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara now is going to go, and this will take us to the end of today's daf and well into tomorrow's daf, and go over a number of different tefillahs that were added by the Chachamim after Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei was put together by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. We're going to be discussing that later in the Masechta, in the fourth perek. But meanwhile, the words of Shemoneh Esrei obviously are meant to be kept as is, and there should be no ad-libbing when it comes to the Shemoneh Esrei. However, after the Shemoneh Esrei is over, so numerous Amoraim added further tefillos after the Shemoneh Esrei, and the Gemara is going to go through with us together the various tefillos that are said by them. You will recognize a number of these tefillos. Now, one of the tefillos actually made it into the Nusach of our Siddur. We're going to be seeing that together in the course of this discussion. But some of the tefillos that didn't make it into the end of Shemoneh Esrei, nevertheless, were placed into other parts of the Siddur. Rabbi Elazar Basu de Masayim Tlusay, after Rabbi Elazar finished his Shemoneh Esrei, Amar Hachi, he said the following year, Ritzom Alfanecha Hashem Alkeinu Shetishkon Bipurenu. You should place in our lot, Purenu from the word Pur, from Purim, which is a reference to the Goral, you should place in our lot, Ava V'yachva V'shalom V'reyus, love, brotherhood, peace, and unity, V'tirbeg V'ulenu B'tamidim, and we should have more students, V'titzlach Sofenu Acharis V'tikva, and we should be successful all the way to the end. V'tasim Chalkenu Big Gan Eden, we should have a portion of the world to come, V'taknina B'chever Tov V'yetzer Tov V'olamecha, and we should have a good friend and a Yetzer Tov in this world, V'nashkim V'nimsa, Yachol Levavenu, and it should be that the desires of our heart is liyirah shemecha, is only to fear Hashem, v'talavol lefanecha karos nafshenu l'tova, and all of our needs and wants should be brought to us for good. That is the tefillah, the extra tefillah was said by Rebbe Elazar after Shemoneh Esrei, and the Gemara is going to give us a number of others. Rabbi Yochanan Basu de Masayim Tusei Amar Hachi, this is Rabbi Yochanan's tefillah when he finished. Yihi Ratzon Milfanecha Shem Elokeinu Shetatzitz Bebushasenu. You should look out to our shame, v'tabit b'ra'asenu, and see the bad that befell us, v'tislabesh b'rachamecha, and fill us with your rachamim, v'tiskaseh b'azecha, and cover us with your strength, v'titaseh b'chassidusecha, and wrap us up in your kindness, v'titazer b'chaninusecha, and you should gird us with your chen, v'tavol lefanecha midas tovcha, v'anvesanucha, and you should give us a good midah, and that of humility. Rabbi Zera Basad Masayim Tulsi Amarachi, this is Rabbi Zera's fill after you finished. We should not sin. We should not be embarrassed. We should not be humiliated. Rabbi Chia Basad Masli, Rabbi Chia after he davened, he would say the following Amarachi, the Torah should be our preoccupation, and we should not be sad, and our eyes should not be darkened. Rab Basad Tulsi after Rab davened, Shmona Esrei, this is what he would have to add afterwards, Amarachi, should give us a long life, chaim shel shalom, a life of peace, chaim shel tov, a life of goodness, chaim shel bracha, a life of bracha, chaim shel parnasa, a life of livelihood, chaim shel chilut tzamos. Our bones should be liberated. We should feel good. Chaim sheish bam yiras chait, a life that is filled with fear of heaven and fear of sinning. Chaim sheein bam busha chlima, a life that does not have embarrassment. Chaim shel osher v'chavod, a life that is filled with wealth and honor. Chaim sheitei banu avas Torah v'yirashamayim, a life that has the love of Torah and fear of heaven. Chaim sheb temalai lenu kol mishalzli ben l'tova, and a life that all of our wishes are going to be answered. Now, obviously, this sounds familiar, as this is what we say for benching Rosh Chodesh. Rebbe Basar Tzluse, after Rebbe concluded his davening, Amar Hachi, he would say the following, Yerusalem Panecha Hashem Elokeinu Melkei Avotenu, Shetatzilenu Me'azei Panim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from being arrogant, O Me'azus Panim, another description of arrogance, Me'adam Ra, from a bad person, Me'pega Ra, and from a bad confrontation, Mi Yetzer Ra, from the Yetzer Ra, Mi Chever Ra, from bad neighbors, Mi Shachin Ra, and from bad neighbors, Mi Satan HaMashchis, and from Satan who destroys, Mi Din Kasher, and from any harsh judgment, Mi Baal Din Kasher, and any litigant who is harsh, Bein Shu Ben Bris, Bein Shu Ben Bris, and doesn't matter whether he's a member of tribe or not a member of the tribe, Afagab Dekhaimei Kitsutse, Aled the Rebbe. Now the Gemara just simply notes over here that Rebbe said this tefillah despite the fact that he had guards around him all the time. Rashi reminds us that Rebbe had a very close relationship with the Roman Caesar Antoninus. And so therefore Rebbe was constantly protected. And despite the fact that he was constantly protected, he davened to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he should be spared and that Kadosh Baruch Hu should provide him the protection. And so therefore, the obvious point over here is that protection only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even though we are perceived that we are protected, but we need to ask and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he be the one that actually protect us.